What is the world's most believed lie? Listen today to see if you've fallen for it. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
You know the big thing about Christianity? Obviously, the empty tomb is the thing that sets Christianity apart from everything else. But you know the other thing that sets Christianity apart from everything else is the fact that you can know today that you are forgiven, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can know that you know that you know that you know that when you die, you'll be in heaven with Jesus. No other religion will tell you that.
There is truth, there is truth, there is bliss, there is hope.
This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Thank you for joining us today, a day when we're going to learn the real truth that you and I can know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, we will go to heaven when we die. But the truth is, most people in the world, they don't know that. They hope they go to heaven, but they don't have the security and peace of knowing that because they've fallen for the world's most believed lie. What is the lie? It's that a person is saved, meaning they'll go to heaven when they die, by his or her good works. And that good works, or simply being good, at least mostly good than bad, is the way to get to heaven. It's just not true. Now, if that is you or someone you know, we pray that you'll pay close attention to today's lesson called The World's Most Believable Lie, because it can determine your eternal destiny. Today's message is from the series, Fake News, Exposing the Lies of the Devil. Now be sure to go to fromhisheart.org to listen to any broadcast you may have missed. There, too, you can download any broadcast on MP3 format to share with others who may need to hear this themselves. And you'll find free sermon outlines from Pastor Jeff there, too. Just go to our radio tab at fromhisheart.org. First, though, we're going to get a little review from yesterday's Part 1, and continue to explore the truth about the world's most believed lie.
The majority of people, they think that salvation is in the merit of man. Something that you do. Some way, somehow, you have to do something because if you don't do it, you don't make it. So what must I do to be saved? Now, why do we think like that? As human beings, that salvation is something that you do, that salvation somehow rests on you and what you do. Not on Jesus and what he did, but on you and what you do. Let me give you three reasons why we think that way. Number one, salvation by works seems right to the human heart. It just seems right. It seems like, well, yeah, that's the way it should be. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, and again in Proverbs 16:25, it's a good verse to memorize because you memorize two verses at once. It's in both of those references. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There's a way that seems right, and salvation by your good works seems right. But how does it end up? Its end is the way of death. Now, all of us as human beings, we are given by God a sense of justice. There's just within us this sense of justice. And here is how the sense of justice works. Bad people should be punished and good people should be rewarded. I mean, that's just justice, right? Bad people should be punished. Good people should be rewarded. That's just how we think. Now, is that wrong? No, it's not wrong. But here's the problem that the disconnect. See, we think we are good people who occasionally do some bad things. But here's the reality. There is none righteous, not even one. There are no good people. See, that's what we don't realize. God says, if you're going to get into heaven, you must be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's what Jesus said. There's a way that seems right to a man, and it seems right to us that we could be good enough to somehow get to heaven. because we're not bad people. Second reason why we believe this, this lie of all lies that you can get to heaven by your good works, in some or in part by your good works. Second reason is salvation by works appeals to our pride and our sinful nature. I mean, we like to think that we can do it. I mean, somehow, some way, I can grit my teeth. I can grind this out. I can pull myself up by my bootstraps. I can earn this thing called salvation if I just try hard enough. We think like that. See, the Bible makes it crystal clear. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. Now, if you could be saved by your good works, if I could be saved by my good works, praise the Lord. If that could happen, well, then heaven would be a place for a bunch of peacocks. We'd just be strutting around saying, man, I got me here because of the way I live, because of my good works. That's why I'm in heaven. But it's not as a result of works. Why? So then no one can boast, because no one deserves to go to heaven, for it's by grace through faith that you are saved. Hey, why do people believe that you're saved by your good works? Well, it seems right to the human heart. It appeals to our pride and sinful nature. And then reason number three, salvation by works seems to be taught in parts of the Bible. See, some people will go to the Bible and say, this is why I believe in salvation by works. And doubtless they go to the book of James. You know, Martin Luther, the monk of the 1400s and 1500s, he was the one who started the Protestant Reformation. He was the one who tried so hard by his good works to please God. He would sleep in freezing cold conditions without a blanket. He would take a whip and beat himself on his back trying to earn God's favor. Martin Luther was the one who said this. He said that if heaven could be earned by being a good monk, then he would have earned heaven. But he realized you can't earn heaven. And he came across one day, Romans chapter 1, verse 17, but the righteous man, the just man shall live by faith. And all of a sudden, Martin Luther, the light went off and he's like, it's not about works. It's not about me trying. It's about me trusting in the Lord. Well, it totally changed his life. But now Martin Luther, although he was a brilliant man, he had trouble with the book of James, because he said James seems to contradict Paul. Because James says in James chapter 2, verse 17, even so faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Faith without works is dead, being by itself. And Martin Luther's like, that's not right. That's not right, but it is right. And here's where he missed it. See, it is faith alone that saves. But faith alone is never faith alone. It always has works. So faith alone saves you, but the faith alone is never alone, because when it's true faith, it's always accompanied by works. So true saving faith is never without authenticating works. James chapter 2, verse 18. He says, you show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. And so faith, a good way to think about it, faith is the root of salvation, and works are the fruit of salvation. Works don't produce salvation. Salvation produces works. Do you see the difference? And that's where people get confused. Now, I want us to go back to Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to notice something with me. The scripture says, for by grace. Now, notice that's in bold. By grace, you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, notice with me three words. Three words will keep your theology straight. First word is the little preposition by. How are we saved? We're saved by grace. Second preposition, through faith. By grace, through faith. Now, think of it like this. Grace is like electricity. It's grace is God's riches at Christ's expense, God's love in action. It's the undeserved, unmerited favor of God. You don't deserve grace, you don't earn grace, but God gives it anyway, by grace. It's like electricity that comes to your house. Now, if you don't have electricity at your house, you can't run any appliance because there's no electricity. But you can have electricity at your house, and if you don't plug in your appliances, they don't work. We keep our toaster in a cabinet. And when we use the toaster, we pull it out of the cabinet, we put it on the counter, and we plug it in. You know, if I put my toast in the toaster when it's in the cabinet, not plugged in, I don't get toast. It doesn't work. The toaster only comes to life when I plug it in. Grace is electricity. Faith is when we plug into the electricity. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that anyone should boast. And then it says this, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. So we're saved by grace through faith for good works. We're not saved by good works, we're saved for good works. God has good works that he wants us to do. And here's the acid test of Christianity. Have you been changed? If you're the same old, mean, bitter, nasty person that you've always been, and you say, well, I got saved, and I got baptized, and I am no different. Let me tell you something. You didn't get saved. You didn't get saved, because when you get saved, you get changed. And there are good works that start. People notice. They recognize that you have been with Jesus. Something has changed within you. Your countenance, your attitude, everything is different now. You show me your faith without the works, James says. And I'll show you my faith by my works, because faith without works is dead, being by itself. Faith is the root and works are the fruit. So it doesn't have anything to do with your works. It doesn't have anything to do with my works. But it has everything to do with his work.
What an encouraging truth to know that we're not relying on our efforts, but on Jesus and his finished work on the cross. Pastor Jeff will be back in just a moment to conclude this train of thought and this message entitled, The World's Most Believed Lie. Stay with us. In a world that offers so little in the all-important areas of truth, love, and hope, you and I have an opportunity to dramatically transform lives for all eternity. And that's what Pastor Jeff offers every day, and our ministry is supported by our listeners. Pastor Jeff receives no income from this ministry. He is a volunteer and a monthly vision partner and wants to invite you to become a regular automatic vision partner this month and join a team of faithful people who value investing in effective kingdom work that matters by partnering with From His Heart each and every month. That way, From His Heart can continue to reach millions who have never heard the gospel. To become a VP, call 866-40-BIBLE. 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org. And this week, we're praying for 100 new vision partners. And when you do become a VP, we want to say thank you by sending you two of Pastor Jeff's powerful series this week. The first, the 8-message series, Fake News, Exposing the Lies of the Devil, from which today's message comes. And the encouraging series, Holy, 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 Encountering the God of the Universe. Both of these will deepen your love relationship with Christ as well as with others as we broadcast each day thanks to our vision partners. Call 866-40-BIBLE or go to fromhisheart.org and become a VP today. Now let's conclude this important lesson entitled, The World's Most Believed Lie.
Salvation is by his work through the cross and the empty tomb. So here's this Philippian jailer. He bows at the feet of Paul and Silas, and he's full of fear and trembling. And no doubt the presence of God is in that place because nobody left. They couldn't leave. I think they were just gripped with fear in the presence of God. This was an isolated earthquake. It just hit the prison house, didn't hit anywhere else. This is a unique earthquake because earthquakes normally don't shake your bonds free on your handcuffs, but this did. And so they knew they were in the presence of God. And this Philippian jailer says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Tell me what I need to do. And their answer, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 31, and you shall be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized. See, there is fruit there. You can tell something's changed in him. He's washing their wounds. He's giving them acts of love and hospitality. He was baptized. He followed the Lord in baptism. You're not saved by baptism. When you are saved, then you get baptized. And that was what he did in verse 34. And he brought them into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. Salvation is his work that he did on the cross and through the empty tomb. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain that I couldn't get rid of, but he washed it white as snow. So that's what they do. What do you need to do? You don't need to do anything. You need to believe. Now, do is an act. Believe is faith. That's different. When you say, what do I have to do? That's, you know, in Islam, what do you have to do? Well, you have to follow the five pillars of Islam. In Buddhism, what do I have to do? Well, you have to follow the eightfold path of Buddhism. Every other religion, whether it's a false religion or a false cult, what they'll tell you is you got to do something. Here's a list of things you have to do. Christianity is different than all of them because Christianity says it's not spelled D-O, it's spelled D-O-N-E. He did it. So Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe, commit yourself to him, trust him. Now, believe what about the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, believe who he is. Who he is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is Jesus Christ? As Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus in John chapter 9 healed that man that was born blind. And then the Pharisees and the religious leaders began to question that man. And they put the screws to that man. And when that man said, well, this Jesus, he did it. Then they threw him out of the synagogue, and Jesus found him later. And he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And that blind man who could now see said, tell me who he is, Lord, and I'll believe in him. And Jesus said, you have seen him, and he is the one who is speaking to you. And that man said, Lord, I believed. And he worshiped him. He worshiped him. Listen, Jews knew you didn't worship a man. You worship God, and you worship God only. And he worshiped Jesus. Why? Because Jesus Christ is God. That is why. You have to understand that. See, that knocks out every false cult, because every false cult has the same DNA. They reject the deity of Christ. Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man, and that blows our minds, because how could someone be fully God and fully man? But he is, and he is co-equal with God the Father. So you believe who he is, and then you believe on what he has done. And no doubt Paul told this Philippian jailer and his family. See, he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved and your household. Now, this man couldn't make the decision for his household, just like I can't make the decision for my household. You can't make the decision for your household. Paul preached to the man and his family, and they all believed. And they all were rejoicing in verse 34 because they had believed in God. And this man had believed in God with his whole family. So he told them about who Jesus was, and he told them about the cross and the empty tomb. And we know that he did that. It says in verse 32, and they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. The word of the Lord. Paul told the Corinthians, he said, I deliver to you as of first importance the gospel, which I preach to you. What is the gospel? That Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel. It's his death, it's his burial, it's his resurrection. People say there's no difference in Christianity. All religions are the same. Baloney. I like what Ravi Zacharias said. He said, all religions are superficially the same and they're fundamentally different. John Lennox, the professor at, I think he's at Oxford in England. He said, you know, you take the three monotheistic religions of the world. He said, Islam with 25% of the population are adherents to Islam. He said, Islam said Jesus never died. He never died on the cross. I mean, he died, but he didn't die on the cross. The Jews say, well, Jesus died on the cross, but he never rose. Now, both Islam and Judaism, they reject that Jesus Christ is God. I mean, Islam especially, God has no son. Allah has no son, so Jesus Christ is not God. And the Jews would echo that, say, no, he's not God, and he died on the cross, but he didn't rise again from the dead. Christianity said Jesus is God. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and Jesus rose again from the dead. And Jesus Christ is the only founder of faith who died and rose again. The founder of Islam is Muhammad. He's dead. The founder of Buddhism is Gautama Buddha. He's dead. Jesus is alive forevermore. He says, follow me, and you can follow a man who is alive, and he has the keys of death and of hell. So he preached the gospel to him, and this man believed. And you know the big thing about Christianity? Obviously, the empty tomb is the thing that sets Christianity apart from everything else. But you know the other thing that sets Christianity apart from everything else is the fact that you can know today that you are forgiven, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can know that you know that you know that you know that when you die, you'll be in heaven with Jesus. No other religion will tell you that. They say, well, we don't know. You don't know. I mean, you work and you work and you work and then you hope, but nobody has the assurance. In Islam, they say, well, you know, it's just based on the mercy of Allah and we don't know what he's going to do. So we work and we work and we work and we hope that when we die, that he'll let us into heaven. I had a friend of mine, he was Catholic, and I was talking to a person at the laundromat. This one was in college. And I was witnessing this guy, and I said, hey, do you know for sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven? And he said, no, I don't. And he said, and furthermore, you don't either. I said, oh, I don't. He said, no. He said, nobody can know that. That's only what you find out when you die. And when you die, you find out, did I make it or did I not make it? See, he was into the works salvation. And I said, well, you know, John the Apostle said that you could know. Because the scripture says, he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know that you have eternal life. And you can know today that you have eternal life. You don't have to guess. You don't have to hope so, maybe so, guess so. You can know, and you can know today if you will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen. You can believe today. If you've never believed before, you can believe completely and totally in Jesus and Jesus alone for your salvation.
Just like the Philippian jailer, you can know today, beyond the shadow of any doubt, that you're saved and your sins are forgiven. The Lord is reaching out to you. He's offering you forgiveness for your sins and freedom to live for Him when you turn from your sin and receive Him as Lord. We invite you to go to fromhisheart.org and click the Why Jesus tab to discover next steps for you and get many of your questions answered. Again, that's the Why Jesus link at fromhisheart.org. Well, a wonderful message today called The World's Most Believed Lie from Pastor Jeff's series, Fake News, Exposing the Lies of the Devil. And you can listen again to this broadcast online anytime and download a free MP3 of the broadcast. Again, go to fromhisheart.org. We want to thank you for being with us today, and we look forward to having you join us again next time when Pastor Jeff Shreve will open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.